that coffee down. Coffee's for closers only.
Are you not entertained?
There is no fuzz on that.
Let's put another shrimp on the barbie.
What do you want?
It's not that simple.
What it's- do you want?
The Brian Suits Show.
AM 770 KTTH, Brian Suits here. That's the best scene in Glengarry Glen Ross when Alec Baldwin shoots his director of photography just to make the point that coffee's for closers. That's such a classic movie.
I think that's the director's cut.
Oh, is that something with the commentary on that one? Wait, come on, Eric. Load up. Oh, computer.
That's billion with a B.
I love it when news anchors say that. As if I didn't hear you say billion when you said that the King County Regional Housing Authority is saying for only 11 billion, that's billion with an illion, more will solve homelessness. Did you see that last night?
You do it for emphasis.
Holy shnikes. Well, let's talk about my bets and football. By the way, it's a Calling for Calm Friday. It's a Calling for Calm Friday. You know, here's what I don't get about Memphis. You have that video edited together. Release it now. Why are you saying, oh, we're going to release it tonight? So anyway, we'll discuss it. The president chiming in, calling for calm. And I second that, calling for calm. Anyway, let's talk about my first losing bet. So I had $5 left over, and I see Djokovic is playing the American Tommy Paul, and that the odds of the American winning are crazy.
Are we talking tennis here?
Yeah, I don't know anything. I know.
I mean, if we're betting on tennis, we have an intervention
left.
Coming.
Yeah, and he lost. So anyway, probably because he got vaccinated. Djokovic, unvaccinated, is going to win the Australian Open, as far as I know.
So, we need to get you into curling bets.
I don't think you can bet on curling.
Well, just go up north, and I'm sure you'll be able to throw some money down.
Put some money on Saanich versus Squamish versus Tsawwassen. By the way, if you don't know that Esquimalt's going to win the mixed sex league of BC, then you're not watching the same curling I am. That's all I know. Okay, so the weather it's going to be cold in Kansas City, but no precipitation chance of any weather whatsoever in Philly. Is similarly small weather. In other words, weather's not going to be a factor. Here's what I did on one ticket. I'm saying in Philly, the noon game, I'm saying under 46.5.
And that's a sure thing in your book.
I think it's going to be a low scoring game, but I think Philly's going to win. They're -2.5 as favorites. Meanwhile, in the late game, the 3:30 game, I'm saying Bengals at the Chiefs is going to be over 47.5. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game, not a lot of defense, but I think the Bengals are going to win. I think they're going to squeak it out.
Right to the bank.
They're going
to
pinch it. Right? Yeah, they're going to pinch that one. I don't know. Do you dispute my picks?
No, I mean, let the record show. If people go back week to week, I think you're, 13-0 at this point?
You're 2-4-0 is something I think of something like that. So take it to the back. This is not in any way, shape, or form betting advice or picks. This is just never. What I've done with my money.
Fade the picks. Fade his picks.
Mike Rowe on the upcoming. The Senate has yet to vote on the PRO Act. We'll get to that. Mike Rowe from Dirty Jobs and et cetera, a big supporter of the gig economy, as I am.
By the time we realize how big an issue it is, we're going to have a hard time turning the temperature down. We've given a lot of people a lot of options. And incredibly, one of those options is do nothing.
You know, I didn't know this. How about this unemployment number? Because they're not counted. And if you stop looking for work, you know, the unemployment number is people actively looking for work. And that's whatever the U4. The U1, I think it is absolute total number of people looking or not looking for work. 7 million men are not looking for work. What are they doing?
That doesn't bode well for the future of a society.
No.
7 million?
I hope they're not mating. You know, please don't reproduce. But, I mean, that's what I don't get is there – do they not spend any of the Rebuild America Act? I don't get – what are they doing for money? And I do understand that – I mean, you can't work for – DoorDash or, you know, that all gets reported. And I know if you're any kind of a gig worker, then you know that quarterly, and I'm behind on this, but you have to write your own check. You know, if you don't read your check, if you get a paycheck and you don't read that stub, then you're doing yourself a disservice. Especially, I have to look at all the funding sources of King County Regional Health Authority. For that one, but part of it comes from business so that they can make a
that's billion with a B.
11 billions with a B and plus. But there is an act that would fundamentally change how gig economies work and basically do what they did in California, make them illegal, that you have to work for the man somewhere or something. In fact, I'm so upset about this, I'm going to Gig Economy Harbor tonight for a friend's birthday party.
Oh, no kidding.
Haven't been there in a long, long time. But anyway, a buddy of mine is turning 50. So having a birthday party there in the Gig Harbor tonight. So it'll be cool to see Cobra 6 Actual, as he was once known. He was my company commander in Iraq. And also coming up, forget to tell you, you know, our lengthy pre-show audition. I mean, what's it called?
Show prep.
The show prep. But I'm thinking, what do you know when you practice a play before the actual showing of the
scrimmage?
Yes, of the play scrimmage. When we're doing our live scrimmage of Hamlet. So there was this Navy SEAL raid yesterday in Somalia, and to talk about it, I happen to have an associate who's a former 11-year veteran of the U.S. Army Delta Force, or Special Mission Unit, as it's called, or Fight Club. And he'll join us at 7:30 and talk about this Navy SEAL. It was a capture raid on a ISIS Africa dude, an ISIS Africa finance dude, wound up killing his entire crew. 13 guys. Not the SEALs. The ISIS guy disagreed on being taken alive, and the elite Navy SEAL Team 6 said, "Okay, we can play that if you want." And so anyway, he had an option of doing it the easy way. He chose the real easy way. And he and 13 chaps are undoubtedly in paradise, probably on version number 3 or 4 now. And anyway, we'll talk about operating in that environment and stuff. But I'm pretty sure, Steve, my adventure at Unacceptable Town early yesterday morning, I think that's up. It featured in a story about, I mean, it's really hard to read this draft report by the King County Regional Homelessness Authority. 180-something pages. I've never read so much governmental gobbledygook. And it's all about wraparound coalitions to find. I mean, I can't do it justice. I'll read it verbatim. But stunning. Reagan Dunn, Councilman County Councilman Reagan Dunn talked to Como. We'll get to that. But it really is based on this insane belief that homelessness is caused by lack of homes. I mean, I thought Mayor Harrell was a little more grounded in this. But I mean, from talking to Brandy Cruz last week, Jay Inslee can't say the word drug abuse. He says people encountering chemical effects or whatever. He still maintains that it's about building houses, and so does Harrell.
Fundamentally, it has occurred because we have not built the housing, the roofs that people need to live under.
Seattle Mayor Bruce Harrell aiming to spend $338 million on affordable housing.
Lack of access to housing is the source of homelessness, and gaining access to housing is a solution.
I listen, all I can say is if that's who you're electing as your leaders, I don't want to live in your town, and I don't want to live in your county. But good golly, that, as we'll hear from Reagan Dunn here in a second, but that blew me away. The governor's ask in the state of the state was pretty huge. But just King County says for like $11.7 billion, they need $6 billion like right up front, knowing full well that once you start funding a program, in a liberal town like this, in a liberal county like King County, you can't unfund it. You can't undo it, because all they're going to do is continue enabling homelessness. You understand there's a direct conflict of interest. By exploding the growth of the organizations that, quote, fight homelessness, no one wants to tell them a situation solved. You can all find a new job now. I mean, there's a direct conflict of interest. And this stunned me, because there's no way. There's just no way that King County scares up $11.7 billion. No, that's going to be spread out around the state. Its only good effect would be to become a regional magnet for drug addicts if Seattle spends this kind of money. If you can get a free house and continue to be a drug addict until the next guy dies, or, you know, and then you get a new tiny home or whatever, then they're going to leave Pierce County, Thurston County. They're going to leave Latah County, Idaho. They're going to leave Wyoming and come here.
Unfortunate comments from our governor there, but that's something we've come to expect over many years while he's held that post. More surprised at the comments there from Mayor Bruce Harrell. I've been in support of some of his rhetoric over the past year, and even some of his policies of cleaning up graffiti, some of the homeless.
There's been
sweeps.
Bright lights. Yeah.
Yeah. There's been some signs of positive actions being taken. But to say outright that the source of homelessness is lack of housing, you're just so missing the mark.
Want an analogy?
Yes, please, always.
Okay, so you come out, your car is up on cinder blocks because someone stole the tires, the wheels off your car. And your friend Jay Inslee says the fundamental issue here is that you're unwheeled. So, and I said, well, no, the fundamental issue is that someone stole them.
Right.
No. You don't have wheels. We need to get you wheels. And then the next day they're stolen again.
And if you
and he says the fundamental issue here.
You misdiagnose the problem, you don't come up with the proper solution. It's basic.
Yeah, my dog is losing his hair. Well, the fundamental problem there is that there's a lack of hair. Well, right. Shouldn't we do a test or something? Well, let me get a toupee for your dog first. Well, it fell off. Well, I'll get another toupee. The fundamental issue here is that the dog has a bald patch. It's insane. And again, doing the same thing based on the same false premise that the issue at Unacceptable Town is lack of homes. Well, the guy's building a tiny home. You can get tiny homes in Fremont. But there's roadblocks. What's a roadblock? Well, I'm a giant drug addict. Oh, there's that. So, I mean, there's those of us who believe that the drug addiction leads to the homelessness, not that the homeless are, oh, geez, can't find a rental apartment in Belltown. I better honk some fentanyl off my infant son's forehead. Sorry.
And build a little tiny house right over here.
Yeah. And by the way, I'm not laughing. I'm crying is what I'm doing.
And two sides of the same coin.
A billion.
That's
years.
Billion with a B.
So there you go. I may as well. I'll fire this away now. This is nuts. I mean, what you're about to hear is crazy. If you don't live in the incorporated city of Seattle or the County of King, you can breathe a sigh of relief.
The County Homelessness Authority says it'll need nearly $12 billion to end homelessness in the area.
Did you say billion?
That's billion with a B.
New proposal from the agency would...
You're my little hero.
...drastically increase services for the homeless, but the sky-high price tag is drawing criticism and pushback.
Como's Jeremy Harris is live with what's in that proposal tonight. Jeremy?
This is the agency that coordinates the homeless response for several different cities here in King County, the largest by far being Seattle. The agency just dropped an enormous price tag on what it says it will cost to end homelessness here in King County.
The 133-page proposal from the King County Regional Homelessness Authority outlines a wish list of housing and social services that the agency's leadership says will be needed if Seattle wants to end homelessness.
And that's fentanyl with an F. That's fentanyl with an antinil. And so anyway, we'll hear from Reagan Dunn and the rest. They actually put out this draft thing for you all to comment on. And let me just read you the contents on this. Dramatically reduces unsheltered homelessness, isn't that redundant? So draft for public comment. It was posted about a week ago. Strategy 1.2. Improve temporary housing and wraparound support for people with high acuity health needs. If you read this and go there and comment, then you're a better person than me. I'm 133 pages. King County Regional Homelessness Authority. 5-year plan. Only, and here's the thing. That is Soviet to sit there and say, here's our 5-year plan for this standalone problem that it's about, what did Inslee say, lack of roofs? Or no, it was the bereft of roof or whatever, the homelessness. A roadmap to transform the system. anyway, that's goal one, dramatically reduce unsheltered homelessness. So it's nuts. All I can say is if you live in the city or in this county and you fund this or you don't object, then you're nuts too. And because that's as Reagan Dunn points out, that's more than the total King County outlay for a year for all services, including putting out fires, responding to crime. You know, stuff like that, little obscure things like that that you expect with your taxes. So,
and this $12 billion plan does not include behavioral health facilities or drug rehabilitation programs.
No. Well, that's already in place.
Well, that's one thing I'm in favor for. Allocate maybe at least $1 billion to build new behavioral health facilities and then do what Eric Adams is trying to do in New York, which is take people off the streets who are clearly mentally ill and have a task force, a team go around to assess these people and then go, we need to get you off the street and we're going to do it against your will if we have to, and we're going to do it in a humane way, but you need to be in a facility so you can't harm yourself or others.
I mean, you'd be recalled if you were an elected official in King County. You'd be recalled if you suggested that maybe some of the bechemicaled, some of our befentanyled neighbors are not in complete control of their faculties. There would be an immediate recall. Why is the World Health Organization suggesting that people buy medicines in case of radiation or nuclear emergency? So that's the top of Drudge right now. Mike, I'm laughing because why haven't you? You don't all have potassium iodine at your house? And man, I was really on the fence about Mike Lindell as Republican National Committee Chair, but then I got these Giza Dream sheets just for free in the mail. So
during the BOGO extravaganza?
Yeah. Anyway, hopefully it's harm eat time. Some 30, we'll talk with a former Delta Force operator about this Navy SEAL raid that very, very quietly was released by the Pentagon yesterday. And again, it's a Remain Calm Friday. We'll tell you why here in just a second. AM 770 KTTH. Remain Calm Fridays at AM 770 KTTH. The World Health Organization has updated critical medicines list for radiological and nuclear emergencies. This comes after a day after the EU just said out loud that, hey, if you're missing it, Putin has reoriented his war. It's not just Nazi cocaine addict werewolves in Ukraine. Now it's all of NATO. He considers that NATO is a... 1 degree away from Kevin Bacon in fighting the Russian people who he's seeking to mobilize with news of German tanks in the Ukraine and et cetera. So anyway, the next day, the World Health Organization updates and supersedes the 2007 manual. So this is I'll tweet this out if anyone cares. But the reason it's Remain Calm Friday is because the president said remain calm. So because of the video that's going to be released in Memphis, and so the World Health Organization, apropos of nothing, it's got nothing to do with Memphis, but National Stockpiles for Radiological and Nuclear Emergencies, policy advice. And I don't know that anyone is taking advice from the World Health Organization anymore, but anyway, I'll scan it. Well, so what's happening, and I guess let's talk strategy, public information strategy on this one. I have to say that yesterday I was playing that announcement by the Memphis police chief, who is, and by the way, the word black is going to play all through all of this. I'm not going to act like it's not there, okay? The black female police chief of Memphis prepped everybody. I played that yesterday. Real late, like 8:45 a.m., mm-hmm. which is real late to me. And and she said, be prepared for a horrible video. And, you know, I've got to say, I would just release it in the day, you know, while they can get things in place. But a black man, 29-year-old man, on January 7th was pulled over for suspected reckless driving. He ran. They chased him. They caught him, and somewhere between being pulled over and 3 minutes later, he was beaten so badly they died in hospital 3 days later. The five cops that beat him are black. Two of them, former college football players, big guys. And they beat him, they tase him, club him, the whole thing. Anyway, 3 days later, he's dead. And that should never happen. Why'd the guy run? I don't know. But they caught him. And once you catch him, he's yours. You dominate him. You handcuff him, search him, you know, the whole thing. That's how that works. If you lose your temper, then you probably shouldn't be a cop at that point. Anyway, the guy's dead. And the five cops were not only fired, but they were arrested. They've all made bond except one who I imagine is the one who was charged the most strongly. He had a $350,000 bond. And he hasn't posted bond yet, but the other four have posted and have left jail. And I would imagine are cleaning, packing a bag and getting out of Memphis or something. So you have a black chief of police who gave everyone a spoiler alert yesterday that we're going to release this video. It's horrible to see. The five cops have been charged. One's still in jail and all that. I got to say, you know, I don't know that she could do more. And at this point, I would expect in Memphis, and I checked a couple of newspapers and TV stations in Memphis, black church leaders are out front saying, you know, you're going to be chanting justice for what more can you do right now? The guys have been arrested. There's going to be justice for the guy, whatever you want to rhyme it with or whatever. But if I was a business owner in Memphis, I'd be doing the Olympia strategy where every business in Olympia has a sign, Black Lives Matter, Justice for George. They still have them up as totems. I would be putting that in my window. Spray painting it.
I don't think there's going to be a reaction to this that's akin to the George Floyd
killing. I hope not. And, you know, Justice for Tyree, the guy's name was T-Y-R-E, and they pronounced it Tyree. And that would be that's like a totem. It's like a Passover. You know, on this I have a feeling that this might work because no one wants to see Memphis get Minneapolis, you know, or Madison. And so I think that does help to say, look, you know, and in this day and age, you can access all kinds of horrific stuff on video, on the internets. The George Floyd thing was released, you know, media got it, aired it, and then public officials had to react. So I don't know that you could lean forward in the saddle better than that chief has done in Memphis.
I've been watching the media coverage of this very carefully. CNN in particular hasn't cut away from this all morning. I mean, incessant coverage, interviews with Tyree's parents, and then commentators chiming in. Correct me if I'm wrong, but my instinct here is that stories like this, for the most part, should be local and not be covered ad nauseum on cable news. As a member of the media, I have a high interest in this because our coverage of any given topic or issue should be commensurate to the proportion of its impact. You understand what I'm saying?
Whatever.
maybe that's I'm wrong for thinking that, but look, there are 100,000 drug overdose deaths per year in the United States of America. 100,000. Now, this young man died. It's a terrible thing. It was done at the hands of law enforcement in Memphis. But as you pointed out, these five were detained and they're now charged with murder. And let's watch from afar as the justice system plays out. I don't know what covering it constantly and not breaking from in your coverage does on a national level other than stir up fervor and anger within the public.
Well, I mean, like I pointed out yesterday, and I tweeted out a link to the CNN story that they did in the first line. 29-year-old Tyree, and I forget his last name.
Nichols, I think.
A black man. In the first sentence, you find out that the deceased is black. In paragraph 7, it says the five arrested officers who are black mm-hmm. or who are also black. It's like if it's important enough to tell me in the first paragraph about the victim's ethnicity,
right.
then the implication is, oh no, another black man dead at the hands of police. You know, no one says another Asian man dead at the hands of police. It's another black man. And only because MSNBC put the official, like, you know, portraits of the officers in uniform, they didn't. And their thinking is, well, we don't have to say it. When they showed the victim, they said Tyree Nichols, a black man, as they're showing a picture of a black man in a hospital bed. But when they put up death at the hands of the police, five officers are arrested and in jail right now. Then they put up the picture of the five black officers. And the one thing that I'll say is that in Memphis, they're a lot more out front and honest about this. And so the evil here is CNN, MSNBC, who are addicted to dramatic coverage of mostly peaceful arsons. In the background, with Ali Velshi saying that this protest has been mostly peaceful, as he's standing in front of a burning police, you know, precinct and all that. So well,
let's be clear.
I don't know that they could do more than this.
Public on edge, as your Chiron,
yeah.
makes for great ratings. It just does. It's sort of the intrinsic problem at the heart of journalism, and that is if it bleeds, it leads. We don't inhabit a news industry, we inhabit a bad news industry.
And I
hate to say it, but it's true.
And you know, keep in mind that the George Floyd died in Minneapolis, and I always felt, well, that's Minneapolis business. You know, this is incriminating video, and doesn't matter what the pathologist said about the level of fentanyl in George Floyd's, you know, but then they found that white liberals could feel good about they could chant and march, and then it breaks out in Seattle. No idea where that cheesecake came from, and it goes to 11 in Seattle. Meanwhile, people are vandalizing Starbucks in Santa Monica. And it's still being called a beautiful summer of love is what Mayor Dorkin said about about shop and I mean I don't want to go through another June of 2020 ever again. I mean it's almost like the media spins up an industry to push and go back to June of 2020 that, oh, look, racial division. But I mean, someone explain to me, how is that? These are five black men who are cops who are doing the right thing, serving their community, but go absolutely overboard in a sadistic way and kill a guy. So I don't see where race is even in this.
Well, so I saw an interview with the parents of Tyree Nichols this morning with Don Lemon on CNN. And I'm going to go try to find this clip. But Ben Crump, their attorney, was yeah. sitting next to them.
Like he helps.
And they're trying to find a race angle to the story. So much so that Ben Crump was trying to insinuate that authorities move so quickly to charge these five officers with murder because they were black.
Whereas yeah, they wouldn't have done that with white guys.
Right, whereas it's taken yeah. longer in previous cases to charge cops. This one happened so quickly because these five officers were African-American. I'll see if I can go find the clip for later this
yeah,
hour.
And the other one, when you talk to the academics and stuff, like they incessantly do on MSNBC, is you'll get a black professor of black studies at Princeton saying, well, there's a whitenizing. There's a whitener. There's a crest whitener, and it's called a police uniform because law enforcement is inherently a white power structure. Well, I don't know. Tell that to the black female chief of police in Memphis. Explain to her how she's just a tool of Honky McGill. So I really hope that we don't see a new low in American media in the next 12 hours. And I am urging you to remain calm. Everyone remain calm. All right. When we come back, Germany has a Russian spy problem, and it might be our problem and more. And what NFL stadiums have jails built into the stadium? Well, only one. And there's going to be a game there on Sunday. AM 770 KETTH. Are you playing this because the World Health Organization updated their recommendation for radiological and nuclear war medicines? Or was it just an accident?
Sure, yeah, no, I meant that.
Anyway, there goes the I'll tweet a link out if you think that the World Health Organization has any credibility. The chief of police of Memphis, C.J. Davis, as she's known, Cyrilyn, but C.J. Davis, a black female, has said that they're going to review these specialized units, like the ones that the five officers charged with murder, who were in jail and posted bond, all four but one of them, were part of a and by the way, the background on this is that Memphis is awash in violent crime. Overwhelmingly, a far, far greater population of Memphis is African-American than anywhere on the West Coast. They're really not in analog. And young black men commit violent crimes far out of proportion with their percentage. And so this unit was almost tailor-made to deal with young black men. And so that's why the unit apparently it was all black males. And in the case of two of these five, they played football at Memphis State, I guess. And so they came up with the, are you ready for this acronym? The Street Crimes Operation to Restore Peace in Our Neighborhoods. Yes, that's right. Scorpion. So the unit was called Scorpion, pew, pew, and sting, sting. It was launched in November of 2021 as a crime wave swept across Memphis, and it's generally been considered to be successful, along with the MAGU, the multi-agency gang unit. And so now they're talking about throwing the entire baby out with the bathwater, and I don't want to say because of five bad apples. I mean, they killed a guy, and so they're alleged or they're charged with killing a guy. My concern is kind of what you said, Greg, is this is a headline or above the fold story, maybe nationwide, just because it fits a narrative. I'm just missing the police use of force issue. It's always one that you know, all conservatives, everyone who believes in individual freedom and liberty. You know, I like law and order, but I don't like authority using its authority to abuse me or anyone else, but especially me. And then after that, my kid. And then Greg. That's right.
I made it the top three.
I took a brave stand there. And my immediate administrative personnel that I work for. And so, but after that, the only thing that's powering this in the news is a race angle that I don't see existing there. And that's, but you're right. I just scanned through CNN and others. And I mean, I know too many people in the news industry to be naive about this. They're hoping that they have dramatic footage from Memphis later on today. They are. They're loaded for it. They don't want to be reacting. And so they're leaning forward. And of course, they would just call it, you know, preparing for the news. And it's like, there is a giant concrete block in the highway, and it's a mile ahead. And you just want to reach up and take the steering wheel from the executive producer at MSNBC and say, you know, you can just steer around that. there might be a panda birthday or something like that. But they're gearing up for. They're not going to be disappointed ratings wise. They will absolutely. CNN has decided that they're going to own this, and it's not like a hurricane avoiding Tampa. And oh, lucky it didn't come here. No, this is something that is a proven ratings winner for them. I mean, crappy news. Their CNN's all-time single-day ratings record was January 6th.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was listening on XM radio, and I was flipping between different channels, and CNN was loaded for bear at 8 a.m. and that didn't happen at 8 a.m. D.C. time. And this is like a formula that they have. And you're darn right. People are watching these networks. But I will say this, in Memphis, all the local TV and stuff, they're emphasizing that, hey, these five guys have been arrested. So, I mean, if you're out, what are you going to do? You yell at the jury pool, justice for Tyree or whatever. Five cops have been arrested for murder, not manslaughter. Or, even a charge I'd never heard before. Something oppression. Did you hear that one?
No.
I'll find the chart. I'd never heard of it before. But it's sort of, there's a thing called color of law. If a law enforcement officer is corrupt or whatever, it says under the color of law. And so anyway. I just don't want to be seeing this all weekend long on TV. I think I salute what Memphis did in acting quickly as a PR thing. I don't think there's anything they could have done better right now. You know what the city of Philadelphia doesn't want you to know is that there's a jail in their stadium. Some say that maybe there should. You know, most I've ever seen is security. Escort someone out, and it was a Chargers at the Seahawks game because the people in front of us didn't attend all the home games. They would, bid them off. And these two Chargers fans just got ripped, and like my entire row took a unanimous vote. Yeah, let's call security on them. And security walked them up and to the 100 level foyer. You're welcome. And they handed them over to King County. Or Seattle PD. It's a King County facility. But November 10th, 1997, things weren't going good. On Monday Night Football, I think I remember this. Steve Young and the 49ers were taking the Eagles to the cleaners as the Eagles made mistake after mistake. 67,000 fans in attendance at Veterans Stadium grew angry. And because it's Philadelphia, near the end of the game, Philadelphia was doomed to a 24-12 loss. And an Eagles fan pulled out a smuggled flare gun in his jacket and fired it across the stadium directly into a crowd of fans. No one was hurt, but there were dozens of fistfights. But what luck. They had thought when they built that place, apparently they thought, oh, wait, last detail. This is Philly. We better build a jail. There's a jail in Veterans Stadium. And the reason being is there's law enforcement there, too. Just that they get overwhelmed. There's so many violent arrests there. I somehow don't think that's going to be an issue on Sunday. And by golly, my money is where my prediction mouth is. Next hour, we'll get into the King County Regional Homelessness Authority's exorbitant request. And what's crazy is, if you're selling a car or if you're buying a car, you lowball because, you can always just turn around and walk off the lot. All they can do is kind of get close. So I hope the ask for the enormous homeless industrial complex is our starting point is for $11.7 billion will end homelessness in 5 years. But we need $6 billion up front. So, and this is just the county that would agree to such a bargain of a deal. We'll get to more of that and more national stuff, more Ukraine stuff. And why did the World Health Organization just today, it's top of Drudge, change their page to this just today? update their recommendations for medicines you should have on hand during, nuclear war. Or rather, right after a nuclear war, I would assume. Back in a second, there'll be a lot of free stuff lying around for us survivors. Back in a second, AM 770 KTTH.